Nearly everyone is trying to achieve more civility, respect, and kindness in today's world.
I'm all in for that, but it's really challenging.
It is, and the struggle has been playing out in our very own Colorado Springs City Council. Get the story and our take next on Loving the Springs, where we celebrate the best and elevate the rest.
This is Studio 809 Podcasts, informing, connecting, and empowering the residents of the Pikes Peak region.
I'm Carrie Simison.
I'm Dave Gardner.
And I'm Al Brody, joining you from sunny but soon to be very cold Florida.
We're recording today, January 30th, in the Studio 809 Podcast, Community Podcast Studio, at The Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs. The folks here recognize the needs in our community and are each filling different shoes, finding their own way to contribute.
On Loving the Springs, we try to celebrate the best and work to elevate the rest. I think we'll be doing both of those things in this episode. We're going to focus today on some rather disconcerting happenings at Colorado Springs City Hall, but also what I think are some good things.
Pikes Peak Bulletin Managing Editor Hala Ershadi joins us frequently to share interesting pieces of community news. Last episode, she filled us in on an effort by the Mill Street neighborhood to continue meeting with Norwood Development Group to try to protect their homes as Norwood continues developing the area south of downtown and east of the old Martin Drake power plant. She's been covering the story that we'll talk about in the full episode today because she's doing a great job covering ongoing developments. Thanks for joining us, Hala.
Glad to be here.
On January 20th, Colorado Springs City Council member Kimberly Gold received an official reprimand from the council president, signed by six councilors. We're going to fill you in on how and why that happened, and we'll hear from Kimberly Gold in this episode as well. Here's what transpired. January 13th council meeting, a joint proclamation by the mayor and city council declaring January 19th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day in Colorado Springs, was on the agenda, to be read, followed by taking a photograph of council commemorating the proclamation. Councilmember Roland Rainey read the proclamation. Then comments were heard from citizens who signed up to comment on it. Three faith community leaders addressed the council. Councilmember Donaldson's reaction to these comments was a little bit out of the ordinary. But first, here's a sample of what stirred up Donaldson in the citizen comments. This was Josh Rumpel, Associate Minister of First Congregational Church.
I rise today in the spirit of one who decried the evils of racism and targeted violence against the vulnerable. I rise today to invite us, Colorado Springs, to live into this same spirit. And that spirit calls us to decry the unjust, immoral, and blatantly sinful actions of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. We must boldly stand in solidarity with our migrant neighbors and the members of our community. I know there's already ICE presence here in the city, and I know that there are plans for more to be present here to harass our neighbors. My faith calls me to stand in solidarity with the stranger, with the foreigner, my neighbors. And I will not sit silently when violence is reaped upon my neighbors. We have the power to resist this weak and crumbling authoritarianism witnessed by the federal government. Immigrants are a critical piece to our society. They are our coworkers, our neighbors, our students, our faith leaders, our friends, our family. I ask you, leaders of our city, do you wish to see the chaos witnessed in other cities be present here in ours? Do you wish to see our homes ripped apart, our neighbors stolen from us, blood of innocent people in our streets? If we welcome ICE into our city, then that is what we will have. And I do not wish to see that happen. So let us find the path of peace, of compassion, of welcome here in our city. Let us resist the violence that will be reaped upon us if we abandon our migrant neighbors, sacrificing them in the hopes that the violence will end with them. Please do not support the work of Martin Luther King Jr. in name alone.
That was Josh Rumpel of First Congregational Church. Two other faith leaders made similar comments. Following citizen comments, city councilors could comment. Here is what Dave Donaldson said.
I want to say that I fully support ICE and their activities to enforce our immigration laws. Those laws were passed by our elected representatives and supported by the vast majority of the citizens of the United States. I just heard, well, I don't remember the exact quote, but what I'll say is that native-born Americans are under siege by an illegal invasion of tens of millions of illegal immigrants. So again, I fully support ICE and their actions. And I find what was said here offensive, and I didn't even like sitting here listening to it. So I won't participate in any picture.
Donaldson then rose from his chair and left the room. Next up was Counselor Kimberly Gold to comment. Here's what she said.
Wow. What a Tuesday. Good morning, everybody. I'm actually quite glad that today's public comment in support of MLK has brought fiery conversation. Because Dr. MLK was a fiery person, he had to be in order to create change. And we need that same fiery spirit today and beyond to create the continued change that we need in our country so that it reflects the ideals and values of everyone and not just a select few. And one of the things that I really love about MLK, you know, other national holidays, they say rest. Hey, it's Christmas, you should rest. It's Thanksgiving, you should rest. But on MLK, there is a specific message that it is a day on, not a day off. And I would challenge you that in these times to not just make MLK a day on, but make every day a day on. Because as you heard, Councilmember Donaldson said that the rules that we are now abiding by are from our elected officials, which you, the people, have voted in. And you, the people, can also not vote in. So use your power that so many of our American ancestors have fought tirelessly, have lost their lives for, and do the right thing to honor Dr. King's legacy by making your own legacy. Thank you.
After that, the photograph was taken without Donaldson, and the council meeting went on to other agenda items.
A week later, Kimberly Gold received a letter of reprimand from City Council President Lynette Crow Iverson. I'll read most of the letter here. January 20th. Councilmember Gold, this letter is regarding comments made during the item 5A at the January 13, 2026 regular meeting of City Council and your subsequent related social media posts. As Council President, I find your in-person comments and social media comments referencing the comments and actions of Councilmember Donaldson to be in violation of the rules and procedures of City Council. Specifically, Councilmember Donaldson made comments regarding his support of ICE and then exited council chambers. Your conduct violates Rule 7-8, Decorum, of the Rules and Procedures of City Council. The letter then quotes the rule, and it ends with, "As Council President, I am requesting that you refrain from making public comments or social media posts regarding your fellow council members' comments and actions during Item 5A. Further, as Council President, I request that, in the future, you abide by Rule 7-8, Decorum, of the Rules and Procedures of City Council."
Kimberly Gold couldn't join us today as we record this episode on January 30th, so I sat down with her a week ago to get her thoughts on this. After we listen to that conversation, we'll return to share our perspective on this, and we'll get a very interesting update from Hala. So, Kimberly.
Hi, Dave.
How does this letter make you feel?
Oh, man. Well, one, can I just say happy Black History Month? And also, thank you for giving me a space where my voice can be heard. I think that's really important. So thank you.
That's our job.
How does this letter make me feel? It makes me feel a little frustrated, but it also is a great reminder to myself and hopefully the public that when you make the rules, you can enforce the rules. And per City Council rules and procedures, this was an enforceable rule. Undeniably, I am frustrated, but I think that we have to take a step back away from our emotions and look at the bigger picture. And to me, the bigger picture is when you make the rules, you can enforce the rules.
Do you think what you said really warranted this kind of a response?
Oh, of course not. You know, we get the City Council rules and procedures when we are onboarded as city councilors. To be fair, you're onboarded with so much information. This is a robust city, so there's a lot of things that you need to learn and there's a lot to retain that you just simply can't. But you do get the City Council rules and procedures, and I was pleasantly surprised to see decorum in there. I think decorum is really important, right? Civility is important. Diplomacy is important. I did not think that I would be in my first year or less than first year of council be getting a letter for me violating decorum. I certainly didn't expect that.
I mean, there are lots of ways that you could have responded to Dave Donaldson's comments, and I don't think ugly or vitriolic could be used to describe your response.
Well, thank you. I pride myself on not being that. Kindness is a core value of mine. I don't believe in petty culture. I don't believe in reciprocating energy. I don't think that brings joy and peace and goodness into the world. I do believe in being passionate, and I do believe in redirecting. And I was trying to acknowledge the comments that were made before me and redirect.
Well, you made it clear that you had a different perspective. Do the council rules require that you pretend like you all agree?
No. Okay. Oh, no. And maybe I need to read again. But I would certainly hope not. We are a body, right? And that's how a lot of times we describe ourselves. But we're a body of different personalities, different values, different priorities, and that doesn't always line up. And it's not supposed to, because we represent a city of 500,000 people, and 500,000 people are not the same. We have different things that are important to us, and we need a city council that can represent all 500,000 of us for our differences.
Do you know whether Lynette Crowe Iverson had that conversation with you in response to some urging by someone else, or wrote that letter in response to someone else's urging?
I have no idea. I really don't. And that's kind of what troubles me. I would hope that we could have more dialogue with one another. I have had very little dialogue with my peers. And I don't know. Maybe that's on me, but really, I don't know.
Now, when you say very little dialogue, are you saying, oh, just about this subject or just in general?
About this subject. Okay. We had a groundbreaking in January for a property that's going to be at Peak Innovation, which is in the Southeast District, and several council members attended that. So there's definitely dialogue and communication, but regarding this matter, I've had very little dialogue with my fellow councilors.
So you don't have a sense that you're an outsider. You've been welcomed to the club.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Welcome to the club. I will say, yes, I have been welcomed into the club, but it's not a club that council welcomes you to. It is a club that the public welcomes you to, because they are the ones that put you in the club, not your fellow councilors.
Sure. But you would hope that they would treat each other respectfully.
Well, per decorum, we are intended to create a welcoming environment, an atmosphere of civility. I don't have the words memorized yet, but maybe I should.
Now, I saw your Facebook post. Did you post elsewhere on social media?
I posted on specifically Threads and LinkedIn and Facebook. Those are my three favorite social media sites. I just can't seem to master Instagram or TikTok.
And you didn't remove any of your posts in response to this?
No, my public posts are public. Actually, everything that I post is public. I believe that I'm an elected public official, and I should do things in public as much as possible. I use those profiles to talk about things, share my bike riding, and or this weather, maybe not so much.
Were any of your posts over the line, do you think?
There is one line in the rules of decorum that says something about council members will not speak about each other or something. I can't exactly remember what that line is, but there's this one line. It's like the last sentence of the decorum paragraph.
Should not make personal comments about other council members or their opinions and actions that may be perceived as derogatory or defamatory.
So with that line, that's really broad and encompassing. So one could argue that I was over the line with that very broad line. Sure.
I don't think I saw anything on Facebook or heard anything in your comments at the meeting that I would say were derogatory. I think you made it clear that you disagreed.
I think this is the challenge with broad rules, right? If you say it's derogatory and it's within your purview to enforce the rules, so therefore it's derogatory, right? And that's that real gray area of rules. And again, going back to what I said at the very beginning, the biggest lesson is when you make the rules, you can enforce the rules.
If you hadn't posted, do you think your comments in the council meeting alone would have resulted in this reprimand?
Well, considering my letter of reprimand does specifically annotate my comments online and my comments on the dais, I will say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it was one or the other. Like, both were referenced, so I would say both were considered breaking the rules.
Now, why do you think Dave Donaldson and Nancy Hengem didn't sign that letter?
I think Dave and Nancy, what I really appreciate about the both of them is they believe in speaking up. They believe that you should have the hard conversations and you should ask the tough questions. I've seen that at the dais. I've seen that in other meetings and in forums that we've had. If I had to speculate, which can be kind of dangerous, I would say that they really value freedom of speech. They really value that people should say what they feel and it should be out in the open. And that's why they didn't sign. But I didn't ask either one of them why they didn't sign.
Have you heard from anyone in response to the news about this reprimand? Has anyone reached out to you that you would care to tell me about?
Oh my gosh, I've had an outpouring of support from people who have really congratulated me on speaking my truth and speaking up for people. And I can't tell you a specific one. It's been kind of overwhelming in the best way of people who have privately messaged me. And I think it's interesting because I've had people that know me, text me and reach out to me, but I've had people who don't. And they say, hey, I live in this district and you're not my counselor, but I really appreciate your comments. And oh, it makes me a little emotional.
So you don't have any regrets?
I don't. And I don't think it's a good place to live with regret. I think regret is so closely aligned to shame, and that's not how we grow. There's definitely lessons learned, as I've said, but no regret, no shame.
Have you and Dave Donaldson spoken to each other since then?
Oh, yeah, of course. I've heard people say things about Dave. Of course, I've heard people, seen comments that people have written about Councilmember Donaldson, and probably vice versa. But Dave is quite pleasant. Earlier in the year, he was telling me about his running hobby and how that was going for him. And so I think it's important for people to understand that you can really disagree on some things, and you can still be kind and civil to one another, even if you're on opposite ends of an issue.
So you don't have to worry about him egging your car or anything?
Oh, no, not at all.
Do you plan to take any further action on this subject?
If you have suggestions, I'm listening. No, I think it's important for people to know. And I think it's important, again, as an elected public official, to reach back in to the community that elected you and continue to educate and inform and champion for them. So I don't think there's anything different that I'm going to do as a result of this letter of reprimand. The rules of decorum and also Donaldson's censure was printed out and given to me. And I printed out the letter as well. And I do have that in my office, mm-hmm, just as a reminder, because again, when you are the one who makes the rules, you can enforce the rules. So I just like to be reminded. And if there's room for me to be more civil and to be more kind, I'm always going to figure out how I can be that person too.
But let me circle back to, I think, one final question, and I think we've talked about it a little bit, but I want to make sure we have some clarity. Do you think you broke the rules?
Do I think I broke the rules? No. I don't think I broke the rules, but it's important to note, again, if somebody else who has the authority to say I broke the rules says I broke the rules, then I broke the rules. But do I think I broke the rules? No.
All right. And I guess the rules are that the council president alone can, on their own initiative, issue a reprimand, right? They do not need any kind of vote to do that.
It seems that way, yes.
Although they might look kind of lonely if they don't get any other signatures on it, but they could certainly do that.
Yes.
Of course, the letter itself doesn't carry any weight or any consequences, but I think the Pikes Peak Bulletin ran a little story about this. And I think you told them that there were some possible consequences that I wouldn't want to see.
I'm glad you don't want to see that. I was informed through an initial conversation following the meeting where we honored MLK that as I was asked if I would apologize, if I would do a public apology, or if I would edit, retract, or delete my social media statements, to which I said no. And I was told that possible courses of action could include a censure resolution. What else? Removal from boards, commissions, or committees to include the utilities boards, or removal from council. I was told those things, and I said, okay, well, we'll see what happens. I don't have control over that, so I will continue to be the Kimberly that I am, and we'll see what happens moving forward.
Well, it's great when you behave in such a way that you don't have to apologize, isn't it?
Yes. And when it's time, to be clear, when it's time to apologize, you should absolutely apologize. We're human. We make mistakes, sometimes intentional, sometimes unintentional. But when you need to apologize, you need to apologize. And in this case, I don't have anything I feel apologetic for on my end.
Do you expect to see any of these consequences?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm the new kid on the block, as I'm often reminded, and I'm a political newcomer, and I am a freshman counselor. So politics was not my background. It was not my area of study. It was not my work. It was none of these things. So I really don't have enough knowledge to confidently say yes, no, otherwise, that I think these things will happen to me.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for your service. Is there anything you'd like to say that I haven't given you a chance to say?
I'm always going to advocate for people to get involved, right? From the local to the national level, your government should be representative of you, right? And I think for far too long, we have said that our vote doesn't matter, that our voice doesn't matter. And that is simply not true. And I really want people to be courageous and powerful with their voice and with their vote, and to show up at every election, because every single one matters. And even when you think the ballot is too long, or there's not an ideal candidate, like, show up and engage in our local, state, and national government. You pay your taxes. This is part of your civic responsibility. Show up. That's my message.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks. Thanks a lot. So what if you are removed from a board or a committee?
If I'm removed from a board, committee, or commission, and one, I've thought about this because Councilmember Donaldson did get a censure resolution and he was removed. I think that's really unfortunate, because I advocated to be a council member liaison to several of these boards because I care and I want to be part of these committees that are making decisions that are letting us know what the future is. Particularly, I really want to be on the Parks Board. Like, that was really important to me. So that would really hurt my heart if I couldn't be a council member liaison. I also feel really strongly about our neighbors experiencing homelessness. And it was one of the reasons why I wanted to be on the CDAC, which is the Community Development Advisory Committee. And that would be painful because I deeply care about our community, and to not be an official council member liaison, to be in that capacity, that hurts. And then I wonder, I don't want people to pick up the slack for me, right? So if I'm not a council member liaison, I don't know how it works, but I've thought, like, wow, does that mean somebody else has to be? And I don't know, but we're pretty busy as a counselor. So I feel kind of bad. I'm like, oh man, that's more work for other people. Or like, will they even assign it to somebody else? I don't know these variables, but the part of me that wants to carry my own weight troubles me. That part of me is disrupted inside when I think about being removed from committees. And the part of me that really wants to champion for our city and not being able to be that liaison, that troubles my spirit too.
But on the good side, it would mean more time at the pool for you.
Maybe a little bit more time biking. Now, I would redirect my efforts. I would find other things where I can influence. And I also believe in the gift of goodbye. And the thing with the gift of goodbye is sometimes you're not the one who's giving it. You're the one receiving it. So what's that saying? When one door closes, another one opens. And that might be a little Pollyanna-ish of me. But in my life, I have experienced that sometimes you don't go banging down a door that's already been closed. You keep moving forward.
What do y'all think? I think we have a pretty amazing city councilor in Kimberly Gold.
Absolutely.
I so appreciate her willingness to speak out and stand up for her beliefs, which I think in this day and age are a lot of our beliefs, and just be an authentic human.
Yeah. Hala?
Well, Kimberly Gold certainly has a lot of supporters, and a number of them turned out at the last city council meeting this previous Tuesday, January 27th, to speak about her formal reprimand and their opinions on that. And it was a really interesting public comment period, especially because the meeting itself was quite short and dry. And then there was an hour of people who got up and spoke to city council, and the reprimand of Gold was a theme in the public comments. And it was also tied in with the city council's denial to put a Black History Month proclamation on the agenda. Kimberly Gold had proposed this on January 13th via email to other council members, and council members had until about 3 days to respond in favor or against, and they needed to get 5 of the 9 members to support the proclamation being on the agenda to actually get it on there. It didn't happen. Kimberly Gold did say in the meeting that Mayor Yemi Mobolade was going to do a Black History Month proclamation, but council didn't even put it to a vote. So there were several speakers there to talk about their disappointment that the Black History Month proclamation was not on the city council agenda. And there was one speaker, Sean Walls, who is Pikes Peak Bulletin board member, who said he saw that as being part of a pattern that included removing funding for the Juneteenth festival and the reprimand of Kimberly Gold, a Black council member, for, and this is his words, stating plainly about what the public witnessed with our own eyes. And he called the reprimand selective enforcement of council rules, saying the same rules do not seem to apply to Councillor Dave Donaldson. And he noted that when decorum rules are only invoked against certain voices, then decorum stops being about professionalism and starts being about power. Another faith leader, Pastor Heather McDuffie, also stood up and spoke in favor of the Black History Month proclamation and tied support of marginalized community members to the teachings of Jesus. And there were a number of other speakers that touched on wanting a fair process, wanting to see marginalized community members supported and acknowledged by our civic leaders. And also that segued into concerns about ICE activity in Colorado Springs, both ongoing and potentially more in the future.
Yeah, and in a minute, I'll share one of the comments from that meeting, one of the citizen comments, because that really echoes what I'm thinking, which is, if you go back and you listen to what Kimberly Gold said after Dave Donaldson reacted pretty surprisingly, shockingly, a little hostility there, didn't even want to listen to those other viewpoints. And I think councils, it's their duty to sit there and listen to other people's viewpoints during citizen comments. I think that's what it's all about.
With respect.
Yeah. So I thought Kimberly Gold, she didn't characterize him or disparage him or say, I wish he hadn't done that, or I'm really disappointed. She didn't say any of that. She really just said, wow, this is a surprising development, and I'm glad that the citizens came with fiery comment, because that's what Martin Luther King did, and that's what he wanted. I think it was a great example of a city councilor acting with civility and decorum.
I think that is a common sentiment. It certainly was for the speakers at the city council meeting. Oh, and I do want to note that Sean Walls was one of the speakers. He is a board member, but he was there at the meeting acting just as himself, not as an official representative of the bulletin.
Okay. Well, you want to hear the one comment I managed to capture? Seth Palmer Harris. He spoke pretty critically of the reprimand and offered an accurate assessment, I think, of the nature of Gold's comments. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
But when the other 6 members of this council see fit to spend their time reprimanding Councillor Gold for having the audacity to state in simple words that did not hint at antagonism what she witnessed in the chamber 2 weeks ago, I have to hope it felt good. It sure didn't do any good.
Simple as that. So I really wanted to devote this episode to that incident. Of course, it really gets to be a bigger issue, but I wanted to talk about that because, you know, we're all trying to find a path to civility and respect, to where people with different viewpoints can get along. without shooting each other or pushing each other, assaulting each other in any way, or even insulting each other. And I just thought Kimberly did that. And I think in my conversation with her in the studio that we listened to a few minutes ago, you know, you could just tell she is all about friendship and respect and support and civility. I think that Lynette Crowe Iverson, if she had looked at a transcript of Kimberly Gold's comments or listened and re-listened to those comments, I think she would have found, wow, there's not a violation of decorum here. She actually did a pretty good job of not going where she had been invited to go, which would have been an antagonistic place. I think she made a mistake here.
Well, I know that Council President Lynette Crowe Iverson was present at the last city council meeting where a number of people spoke out against the reprimand and made a lot of those same points that you just did, and also questioned if Kimberly Gold is reprimanded, why are other council members who engage in similar and arguably
more hostile,
arguably worse transgressions of decorum than Kimberly Gold, why are they not receiving formal reprimands? But I also have not heard that the letter of reprimand to Councilmember Kimberly Gold has been rescinded. That's another option that they could choose. But so far, it appears that Kim Gold is the only one to receive a letter of reprimand.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. And when you stack on top of that the No Black History Month proclamation, it kind of forces you to think, wow, are we reliving the dark days of yesteryear? Is there some white nationalism or something going on in our own city council? I wouldn't have thought that. I hope that's not the case, but it's hard to explain what's going on down there.
You know, I don't want to speculate, but I will say that perhaps our public officials are not accustomed to being watched. And that means that the Pikes Peak Bulletin needs to be at those meetings regularly.
Well, thanks for being there. Interestingly, Roland Rainey was one of the signatures on the reprimand letter.
And Donaldson was not. I thought that was interesting, too.
Yeah, and Roland Rainey is a man of color. So that deflates the theory that maybe there's racism. But who knows? Maybe it's all about politics.
I mean, humans are complicated. I think we're motivated by a lot of different things. And especially when you are part of an elected body where you have to make decisions together, you only have one vote. I think, you know, there can be different pressures to align in various ways. Again, that's speculation. Maybe we should reach out to Mr. Rainey and ask him.
Maybe. And I also want to say, I think Dave Donaldson, you know, he was offended that those faith leaders connected Martin Luther King Jr. Day with the ICE activity going on largely in Minnesota. And he can certainly disagree with that, but why would that require him to then taint the Martin Luther King Jr. Day proclamation? There were some citizen comments he disagreed with. He could have said, thank you for your comments, and then they could have done the picture, and he could have contributed to that, as he probably planned to do. Now, I invite Dave Donaldson to join us in the studio and explain some other reason, but that just seemed like a mistake to me as well. And then one other thing, I love to be celebrating the best when we're talking about city council. I just think this is a case where we could be shining a little bit of a spotlight and showing an area where I think there's room for improvement. Very puzzling was that the minutes for that January 13th meeting mentioned nothing about Donaldson getting up and leaving and not participating in the photograph.
That is the case. There were several persons who gave public comment who noted that and asked that the minutes reflect that. That request was declined in the meeting. Also, the expression of dismay about the faith leaders' comments on the MLK Day proclamation was not confined to Dave Donaldson, nor was it confined to that meeting in which the proclamation was discussed. The Pikes Peak Bulletin received correspondence. The Reverend Candace Woods, who was one of the faith leaders who spoke ahead of the proposed proclamation for MLK Day, She shared with the Pikes Peak Bulletin an email exchange between herself and the City Council President, Lynette Crowe Iverson. The Reverend Woods, she sent the entire city council a transcript of the comments that she had made that day. And Lynette Crowe Iverson responded to her. I'll just perhaps read a sample from that response. Crowe Iverson thanked Woods for sharing the written text and then went on to write in this email, "That said, I want to be candid.
Today's comments were deeply disappointing in both tone and substance as they relate to the Martin Luther King Jr. proclamation presented by Councilmember Rainey. The purpose of the proclamation was to honor Dr. King's legacy and to solemnly recognize his contributions to our nation and to the principles of equality, dignity, and nonviolent civic engagement. Instead, the moment was redirected to a highly charged political critique of federal immigration enforcement and a personal attack on the mayor, topics that were neither germane to the proclamation nor within the authority or jurisdiction of City Council. And it kind of went on in that vein for a moment. The attack on the mayor is a reference to Reverend Wood's head mentioned in her comments that the mayor's remarks after the raid on the illegal nightclub some months ago. Mm-hmm. And so Woods responded that my words did not personally attack the mayor, but rather invited him to clarify his remarks on whether or not he welcomes violent federal raids on our city. You have each taken oaths of office to uphold the constitutional rights of every citizen. I cannot think of one thing more germane to the constitutional rights of all residents of our city than the right to speech, protest, and due process. She goes on to say, it would be a disservice to the legacy of Dr. King to simply accept the status quo of a declaration that is not lived out and practiced. As a reminder, MLK himself was disregarded and dismissed after broadening his message from civil rights to ending the Vietnam War. And she goes on to say, I stand proudly in the words that we spoke yesterday and pray you all truly commit yourselves to building a beloved community where justice is pursued and dignity is afforded to all. May God have mercy on us all if we do not meet this moment of history with clarity and moral fortitude. The tying together of religious beliefs by faith leaders with what's happening with federal immigration enforcement right now and a concern for civil rights has been an ongoing theme from a number of faith leaders that show up at city council meetings regularly these days. But I share this to put it in the context that this stance is not unique to Donaldson. We have the council president commenting similarly and appearing to not believe there is a connection between the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and what some people see as today's civil rights struggles.
Yeah.
Is it typical that all of the city council members would sign a letter of reprimand? It almost seems like a gang fight against one.
It wasn't all of the city council members.
Excuse me. All except for Nancy Hensham. And
Dave Donaldson. He did not sign it either.
Well, Donaldson should be recused from that situation, I would think. So it really comes down to just Nancy Hensham not signing it. And obviously you wouldn't sign the letter of reprimand on yourself. But it feels to me from a spectator standpoint and a citizen is, did the council gang up on Kimberly Gold?
Well, that thought crossed my mind.
Another thing that I find interesting about this is that this letter of reprimand was not issued publicly. It became public. The Pikes Peak Bulletin broke the story, actually. But it was originally intended to be done behind closed doors.
Very interesting. I was looking to see if there was a place online where the letter itself is to be found.
We linked to it in our story.
Okay, great. Have you filed another story yet, or are you still working on the next story in this saga?
I plan to post the full email exchange between Lynette Crow Iverson and Reverend Candace Woods later today, as well as the recap of citizens' comments in the most recent city council meeting. Those will be up later today.
Okay. So you can find those at pikespeakbulletin.org.
That's correct.
I just want to compliment Kimberly Gold one more time. You know, sitting in here with her and spending the 15 minutes talking about that situation, her answers were just factual, articulate, loving, compassionate. She wants peace. She wants to get along. And I think we could use a lot more people in leadership positions doing that.
And I don't remember if it was her social media post or where I read it, but she actually like highly respects Donaldson and the way he's just authentically believes in what he is, even if they disagree on the beliefs. She's like, you know, I really respect him. He always stands up for what he believes in. He's willing to say it and he respects free speech. And so you don't always get that kind of reaction, especially when you've had an interaction or a situation like this. So, yeah. I mean, she really does. She walks the walk and talks the talk.
I've heard her say that several times, that she appreciates Donaldson's straight shooting, essentially. And other people have said that. I mean, that's a common compliment that Dave Donaldson receives, is that there is no guessing where he stands. And as someone who covers elected officials, I appreciate that as well. Sometimes people in public office will be quiet, they'll play it safe, and that makes it hard for the people who vote to have much more to go on. There's always the voting record, right, that you can look at. But it is, I think, helpful to democracy when people say plainly what they think and feel and how they are acting as elected representatives.
And when they support that same quality in other people. So again, we don't have to agree with what one side or the other says, but when you have someone who speaks their mind and they support other people speaking their mind, whether or not they believe in it, that really is a quality that a lot of people, I don't think, can live out or do live out.
Right. Free speech is for everyone. And sometimes we have to be reminded of that.
Yep.
You know, Dave Donaldson was censured by council for asking that city councilors who had received developer funding for their campaigns recuse themselves from voting on a land use issue that involved those same developers. I have to say, I did not listen to or watch that council meeting, so maybe he was impolite about it. I don't know. But just to bring up that idea, I don't think he should have been censured for that.
And similar to how community members and constituents of Kimberly Gold have rallied behind her, a similar thing happened when Dave Donaldson was censured. And unlike the letter that Gold received, which was in private, the censure was very public.
Uh-huh.
And it does appear that a similar public reaction occurred in both cases where people said, don't try to shut that down.
Huh. We can do better.
We can do better.
Wow, what a Tuesday that was.
That's going to be a t-shirt.
If it isn't already. Well, shall we turn our attention to other community news of note?
I've got something. Colorado Springs once again has received the League of American Bicyclists Silver Bicycle Friendly Community Award.
Woo-woo!
Woo-hoo! If you haven't been on Woodman Road, heading up the hill, any cyclist that's been out there or driver would know. But as you head up towards the Peregrine neighborhood from Woodman, where it turns into a country road going up a hill, they put it in a climbing lane, is what they call it. I always called it an ascending lane, but whatever you call it, it's the lane going up the hill that enables bicyclists who are going to be going as slow as they ever go, because they're pedaling up the hill, to have more room to negotiate the lane, the road, with motor vehicles. And then on the downhill side, where they can go almost the same speed as cars, there isn't a big lane. So it's a wise use of space on the road. It's worth a try if you're a road cyclist.
It's nice to have a little bit of good news about Colorado Springs and bicycling.
Yes. And there are many more things about why we got the award. So it's a good news story.
Well, and I've seen Bicycle Colorado Springs and Pike Ride both post, you know, the good news. And what I love about our cycling community is, like, this is awesome, but we're not stopping there. And really, they're looking forward to the report card that you get back after you get this designation to see, okay, where did we score high? Where can we do better? And where can we keep working on it? I'm just so excited. Our cycling community and the activists involved there and just all of the riders, every year they just come out and I think try and do everything to make it more normalized, make it more accessible, talk about the good things, try and fix the bad things. And it's really cool to be a part of that community. And I mean, it's no surprise that, you know, we talk about bikes in this studio, but I love seeing that we get a little silver star attached to it and rewarded for the hard work that everyone's doing.
Yeah, that's great. And that just brings up an idea. We just had a snowstorm, and if you're a motorist and you're tempted to be a little frustrated at bicyclists who seem to be further out into the middle of the road and not as far to the right as you would like them to be so you can more easily pass, I'll just tell you, it's because they're waiting for the street sweepers to come and sweep up all of the sand and gravel that's occupying the right-hand 3 feet of the road. If you ride there, it's like riding on ball bearings. It's just very unsafe.
Yeah, and if you're on a roadie with those little skinny, smooth tires, you could easily be flattened in a pile of sand.
So you're forced to ride farther out into traffic until we get those streets cleaned. So, just saying.
Good point, Dave.
What else?
We've got some cool stuff coming up downtown in the next couple weeks. First, we have relaunched our Discover Downtown Pass, and this is basically a free digital pass that gets you one-time deals at 50-plus locations downtown. Buy one, get one free beers and cocktails, free gifts with purchases, percentages off, free appetizers. So if you're looking for a way to stretch your January, February, March budget, if you go to downtowncs.com/pass, you can download this free digital pass and hopefully explore some new places you haven't been before, maybe find a discount at your favorite places, and get out and support, you know, your local businesses and make sure that they have a little extra business during the slow season after the holidays as people are paying off bills and taking some time from spending.
I got mine.
Yay, love it. There's some cool stuff, really cool stuff. And then, of course, we are just about to launch the Winter Games. And, you know, we're sitting here in the heart of Olympic City, USA, which means that we will have a lot to celebrate over the next several weeks as both the Olympics and Paralympics kick off. Of course, in the center of all that is going to be the Olympic and Paralympic Museum. So if you head to their website, a huge list of things going on. But the opening ceremony watch party is going to be on Friday, February 6th at 12:30. And then the Downtown Winterfest is Saturday, February 7th. And that also happens at the museum. There's tons of interactive stuff. There's going to be meet and greets with athletes. And I don't know if you guys remember the male gymnast from the last Olympics that did the pommel horse that kind of like took the world by storm. Uh-huh. There's some rumors that he's going to be in town, potentially a meet and greet there. So really encourage everyone to check out the Olympic and Paralympic Museum's website for all of those kind of watch parties. Otherwise, head out and about into your favorite sports bars, watch the games, you know, let's celebrate something about USA these days. And I think our athletes are a way to do that. And if you see the official USA Olympic clothing, it features Garden of the Gods and it features Colorado Springs imagery. Hmm. Very, very cool. So that's a Nike brand, but you can find that stuff online and it's very cool. Pictures of the garden in the background. And then besides that, I mean, it's coming up on Valentine's season. And just because you're single doesn't mean you can't celebrate. We've got Galentine's Day, Valentine's Day, Palentine's Day. So whichever one you celebrate, there are tons of things to do all over the city, I'm sure. But of course, I know mostly about stuff downtown. But they've got several of the restaurants and book now because they do fill up. This is one of those holidays where if you try and walk up for a Galentine's or Valentine's night celebration, it's not going to happen. Yeah. But lots of stuff downtown. And then some of the shops, Good Intentions and Novus Mortem, are going to have a Galentine's party. It's hair sparkles and perfume bars, etc. That's on February 12th. Painting with a Twist. You can paint your pet date night. Comfort and Joy is the cat cafe downtown. They're having a paint and purr on Valentine's Day. The Fine Arts Center, the Local Motive, there's so many things going on downtown. So if you head over to the Downtown Colorado Springs Facebook page or Instagram, we are filling you full of ideas for that. So if you've been tasked to plan your Galentine's or Valentine's day or night, head over there now because we've got great ideas and you don't have to tell your date that it was our idea.
Carrie, pardon my Generation Jones limitation, but what is Galentine's Day?
Galentine's Day is basically you and your girlfriends celebrating your love as girls together. So it generally happens the 13th, the day before Valentine's Day. But I think these days they all cross over together. But it's really a celebration of female friendship.
You don't speak funny. I listen funny. I was thinking G-A-L-L-O-N, not G-A-L.
Ah, yes.
I couldn't make sense out of it. Okay.
That's great. And full disclosure, Downtown Partnership is a content partner here at Studio 809 Podcasts. Hala, you got anything of note coming up for us?
Oh, gosh. We are constantly posting great new content from really interesting, smart opinions to, well, generally deep dives. Occasionally, we do some breaking news. We've been breaking some good ones lately. We just did a few interesting stories, such as how Colorado Springs Utilities non-compliant gas lines are going to be costing consumers. That's something that people in the Springs might want to check out. We just posted a story about a resource fair that connects unhoused members of the community to services. Another one that we're following is about a local Army veteran who's facing charges for allegedly obstructing ICE. It's an interesting case. And we just continue to post more great content nearly daily. So please check us out at pikespeakbulletin.org.
You've been posting the Epstein files too.
We have. It's the Warren Epstein files. But Trump is always in them.
Hey, Liz, is there a Pikes Peak Bulletin newsletter?
Thank you so much for mentioning that. Yes, we have an e-newsletter. You can get the week's top stories emailed to you. You can sign up on our website, pikespeakbulletin.org. There's a little thing at the bottom of every page. It's totally free. And then the news will come right to you.
I love that because, you know, there's some days where you feel like you haven't looked up from your work, even if you've meant to get into the news. But of course, you're in your email doing your work most of the day. So if you subscribe and that comes through, it kind of gives you that reminder to check in on stuff. And those direct links are awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, we also would love to hear from community members. If you want to write a letter to the editor, that's me. And I can't wait to read your letters.
As we wrap up, I just want to say I am just so proud of what we're doing here on Loving the Springs, and we're one of 17 amazing local podcasts at Studio 809 Podcast. 17 podcasts that share this downtown studio and are working hard to inform and engage the residents of the Pikes Peak region. This is what community sounds like. So, thanks for listening to Loving the Springs.
Please follow the podcast and tell your friends about us, and we can't wait to have you listening next time.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.